Look a little bit in Thessalonians this morning, 1 Thessalonians, and in looking here, I was struck again at how wonderful this little church was. Now, it may not have been a little church, it might have been a big church. They certainly probably did not have a formal meeting place, as the churches of the day did not. It would have been illegal to assemble in some places. But this was a Gentile, this is a Gentile nation, a Gentile church that Paul had started. And I think Paul is just, the more you learn about him, the more incredible he is. But let's start if we can with in chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. What a witness.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul commending this church, this group of believers, saying, your faith has been spread abroad worldwide.
Amen.
You are known around the world. You have sent missionaries out. You've done mission work. You've spread the word. You've spread the gospel. You have fulfilled or are fulfilling the commission of Jesus Christ, going into all the world, all the earth. And so they are being commended by the Apostle Paul for doing so. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and have ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So this is not a special group of people that were predisposed to believe God. This is not a group of Jews who had a 2,000-year history or 4,000-whatever-year history of serving God.
Yes.
And now they've come together and believed the word. These were idol worshippers, pagans.
Amen.
And they believed the preaching of the Apostle Paul. They were touched by the Holy Spirit, elected by God, and they turned into one of the most prolific spreaders of the gospel of their time and their day. Verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What a beautiful church.
Amen.
Spreading the word of God in such a manner as to reach the entire world. Let's go on into chapter 2, and start here in verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Paul is telling them, look, so you are suffering the same types and kinds of persecutions that your Jewish brethren are suffering in Judea. That the same kind, you are hated because of the gospel, just as your Jewish brethren are in Judea. They suffered just as the Jews in the churches of Judea suffered at the hands of their own countrymen. So now you have the Jews persecuting Jews in Judea, and you have Gentiles persecuting Gentiles in a Gentile nation. And so this is not news to us. We know, as Jesus Christ said, they hated me, they're going to hate you.
Yeah.
He didn't say if you're a Jew, if you're a Gentile, if you're black, white, green, red, make no difference. If they love or if they hate me, they're going to hate you. They persecute me, they're going to persecute you. In verse 15, now talking about the Jews in Judea, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they pleased not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Mm-hmm. And here I want to interject something. I don't mean for this to become political speech, but I want to warn you and any others about something that's probably coming. and we'll see what it's about. Recently in the House of Representatives, a bill was passed, 320 to 90 or 91, called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. This bill has passed the House of Representatives by a commanding margin and is being sent to the Senate for debate and their vote, obviously, and perhaps later to become law. This legislation, I know you've heard pros and cons about it, but this legislation, and I'll show you why, is an abomination to a free society. In this bill, the definition of anti-Semitism is defined by an outfit called the IHRA. The IHRA is the International Holocaust Remembrance Association. This was started by the Swedes in Sweden in 1998. This association was started by them. Today, there are 35 member nations that have signed on to this. In the IHRA, they define what anti-Semitism is, which includes hatred of the Jews, applying a double standard to Jews, in other words, applying rules to them that you let other people get by with, and we're talking in this of terrorism and so on. There are maybe some things in here in that are good. But imagine that we have a U.S. law, or something that becomes a U.S. law, that is defined by an international agency that is not answerable to anybody. And this is called, there's calling it, going to be calling it hate speech. If you participate in hate speech, according to the IHRA, against the Jews, then you can be prosecuted. And so our Congress, our House of Representatives, has passed a bill that says that if you violate the definition of anti-Semitism according to the IHRA, then you are in violation now of U.S. law. Now, here's the problem with that, one of the problems. The bill that passed our House of Representatives does not have a definition of anti-Semitism. Their definition is to say, as defined by the IHRA. So the IHRA created this, what their version of anti-Semitism is. And so along with saying that you cannot torture Jews, you can't apply rules to them, you don't apply to others, no double standards because of the Jews, and everybody signed on it, but one of the anti-Semitism examples in this bill is teaching or preaching the killing of Jesus by the Jews, that the Jews killed Christ. That, in the words of the IHRA, is anti-Semitism. If this bill becomes law in the United States, every church that teaches that the Jews were responsible for the death of Christ can be prosecuted under this law. And people are saying, oh, no, no, it won't come to that. Oh, it absolutely will. There are people out there now who are licking their lips at the opportunity to persecute God's people, to do anything. And let's say that even if we find a friendly court and they say, oh, well, you know, that's religious freedom, you can't infringe on that, blah, blah, blah. You still have the expense of the legal defense. People would be prosecuted, people will go bankrupt, churches will, some go out of existence, they'll be sued into non-existent anymore. This Anti-Semitism Awareness Act that depends on a definition of anti-Semitism based on the IHRA is an abomination and should have nothing to do with U.S. law.
Amen.
And the IHRA can change those definitions anytime they want to. And as they change those definitions, whatever new things they put in there become law in the U.S. if we adopt this bill, this Anti-Semitism Awareness Bill. And I mentioned to it doing because we just read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus, talking about the Jews in Judea, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost.
Amen.
Apostle Paul, this is what they were enduring.
Amen.
Back in that time.
Amen.
There are a lot of well-meaning people among evangelical groups who are just praising this bill. Oh, what a wonderful protecting our Jewish brothers and sisters, and that this is some kind of response to all this violence and anti-Semitism going on college campuses, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because if this becomes law, all that animosity toward the Jews will now be turned to Christian churches.
Amen.
Bible-believing Christian churches.
That's where they want.
That's exactly what they want. That's exactly where it's headed. Let's finish a couple more verses in Thessalonians here. We'll pick up verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Ye are our glory and joy. And I just want to finish on an up note and say, what an amazing witness the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
And we look back, he's talking to this church in Thessalonians, Thessalonica, saying, ye are our glory and joy. What is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? You're there because of our witness. You are our glory and our joy.
Amen.
How much more Paul doesn't even know yet. We're here because of the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Amen. Congregations for centuries, millennia, are here because of the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Millions upon millions have died for the same things that the Apostle Paul and the prophets and the apostles died for. Paul only had a tiny, tiny little glimpse of the glory and the joy that is can be attributed to him because of his witness and his testimony throughout the ages. Let us pray.